No, the Yale Club, the Yale Club of Chicago.
You sure?
Here's the Denver Broncos latest pick.
On behalf of the Walton Penner Tony Family Shepler. Ownership Group and my former owner, Pro Football Hall of Famer, Pat Bowlen, and the legendary Bronco players I played with, Champ Bailey, Al Wilson, John Lynch, Jason Elam, Matt the Hawk Prater, and the greatest undrafted wide receiver in NFL history, Rod Smith, the world's greatest fans, super fan Ellen Levine Jones, who we lost recently, rest in peace, Bronco Betty, my coach, Mike Shanahan, put Mike Shanahan in the Hall of Fame! Let's go, Broncos! God bless Bo Nix with the 76th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft. The three-time Super Bowl champion Denver Broncos select Jonah Ellis, linebacker, Utah. You're going to love it, brother.
That's how you make a draft pick right there. Nailed that thing. Tony Scheffler, former Bronco, representing the right way, and he is now with us on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Tony, what's up, man? That was awesome. How you doing today?
What's going on? Still feeling good.
Hey, you should be, buddy. That was, I mean, like, you think of all-time great draft picks, right? And you know, McAfee had a good one. The Cowboys receiver had a good one. Tony, you're right up there. Definitely the best Bronco to, or former Bronco to make a pick. But you're up there with all the greats, man. That was unbelievable. I got to ask you, first of all, okay, thanks for joining us, buddy. When you walked out of the tunnel, you and the little kid were doing the gritty, right? And then you gave him a shove. You gave him a shove to the side. Who was the kid?
That was my son.
Oh, how about that? Yep. See, I didn't know it. Then you kind of pushed him to the side. You gave him the forearm, and then you said, hey, this is about me. The spotlight's on me.
Correct.
So that's
and
really
the Broncos.
Yes.
You know.
So that was really cool, though. That was your son, though.
Yep, and he's a huge Lions fan. He wasn't born until, I think, the last year of my Lions career in, like, 2013. So he doesn't really know the Broncos piece of it. So he was there for, you know, to see Calvin and some of the other guys I played with that were in town. And I said, hold on, partner. This is about the Denver Broncos. And, man, I had such good times there, man. Like, it was so easy to get juiced up. Like, Bronco Betty. Like, how cool was she, man? We get home at 4 a.m. from the road trip, and she's at Dove Valley at the gate. It's raining. I love you, Tony.
Yep.
I love you, Stokely. Like, how insane, how cool is that, man? Like, you don't get that anywhere else. Just some of the guys, you know, when we lost Al Wilson to that injury, we lost our locker room. Like, you don't get to play. You don't get to be around people like that very often. So, man, it got me juiced up to get back and talk about, you know, the good times in Denver, man, for sure.
Talking to Tony Scheffler. Tony, want to ask you about Bo Nix, because you hit us with this.
God bless Bo Nix!
Which was absolutely beautiful. What do you make the pick? What do you make of the young guy coming to Denver and having a lot of responsibility to get this thing
There's
back in the right way?
There's actually some backstory there. I'm really close friends with Big Cat from Barstool, Dan Katz.
Okay.
And it's been an ongoing love affair of mine with Bo Nix. I don't, you know, it seems like the last 8 years in college. And constantly a back and forth about Bo Nix and how I just have kind of always loved his grit and loved him as a quarterback. Big Cat didn't have the same type of views I had. So it's been kind of a culmination, and I hit him with that, and he was beside himself. You know, it kind of made his day, Big Cat's day, that I said that. And I'm a Bo Nix fan. I have been for years, man. I think it's a great pick, and I think he's got a lot of grit. And he's obviously battle-tested, man. The kid's played a ton of games, a ton of big games. I think he's going to go out there and compete.
I love it. I love it. I think it's great. We're joined by Tony Scheffler, the star of the draft. Okay, tell us, how did you get the invite? Who? Someone email you? They call you? Like, how do you get the invite?
Yeah,
because I've never been invited by any of my former, like, 15 teams that I played for. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I got a random email one day. I had to, like, clear my eyes. I'm like, is this for real? Like, kind of just a random email from the NFL, you know, saying I have been selected and that type of thing. And then come to find out, you know, through the Broncos, Patrick Smythe, you know, they thought of me since it was in Detroit. And I obviously played 4 years in Denver and 4 years in Detroit. And I live about 45 minutes outside Detroit. And Man, what an honor, man. What an honor to be selected by the Broncos and for the NFL. It was quite the spectacle, man. I got in there on Thursday, didn't really know what I got myself into. There's guys in three-piece suits, and, you know, Malik Nabers has a 10-inch diamond-encrusted chain that says Leak on his chest. I'm in the elevator with him. I go to get off the elevator. Lincoln Riley's waiting to get on. And I turn the corner. Warren Moon's in his gold jacket. I'm like, all right, I'm going to have to step my game up. I'm going to have to bring the juice if I'm going to be here and compete with this type of talent.
Not wait.
So it was an awesome experience, man.
Yeah, your jacket was so cool,
so
man,
cool.
With the orange tie. You had the look. Yeah. You deliver the speech. Like, tell us, when did you get the jacket? How did you get the jacket?
So I collect, and I'm a big fan of, like, vintage T-shirts. And I have, like, a huge collection. And I have some Chalkline jackets as the brand, some old Broncos ones. I like to dress up and, you know, go to the country festivals and do the thing. So I looked up Chalkline, still in business. They just happen to have a sweet Broncos jacket out right now. Next day aired it, you know, and I had to fit.
Oh.
So I was ready to go. You know, I got real nervous right before, and I'm like, they take you down the hallway. All right, you're two picks away. We're going to get you up there. Put me in a little room. I'm in the little room with Jim Plunkett, okay?
Oh.
And he's like, oh, you look nervous. And I said, I'm real nervous, Jim. And he said, you know, he's like, you've done a lot bigger things than this. And I said, that's easy for you to say. You won the Heisman. You won the Super Bowl. The guy's on the couch like it was nothing, you know, Jim Plunkett. So really cool experience, man. It was like, it was – awesome, man. I'm still jacked on it.
Talking to Tony Sheffield. Tony, did you work on the speech? Did you write things down, or was that all straight from the heart right there?
It was from the heart, but I had gone over my head about, I don't know. I don't have a job these days. So maybe from Monday to Friday, maybe in my head I said it 746 times. So it was in there. I didn't know how the delivery was going to go, how nervous I was going to get. But it came out pretty smooth, and it was funny. Troy Vincent, we had a meeting with Goodell that morning, you know, and a little circle talk, checking in on the guys, all the guys that were announcing, and Troy Vincent at the end of the meeting says, "Fellas, whatever you're thinking about doing, whatever you're doing, stick to the card, please."
Wow.
And that's kind of how that meeting ended. So it took some courage to go ahead and throw it all out there.
So did anybody say anything to you afterwards? Or is it like whatever happens, happens? Because I think personally, like, that's what makes a draft great,
yeah.
Right? Those
yeah.
moments. And that's what makes it fun. And that's why, you know, the draft is watched by so many people and it got so much attention. You're not going to get a lot of attention or good attention if you just go up there and say with this pick, you know, this team takes this player. So what was did anyone tell you anything after?
Not really. It felt a little icy after. But, you know, I went up there. You know, you don't get many chances with a hot mic, especially for a guy that's, you know, been out 10 years. I like to be on the mic. You know, I did some radio stuff in Denver when I was playing and that sort of thing. So it was like old hat, man. And got the hot mic, said, might as well go ahead, bright lights, just like the old days. We'll go out here, you know, show them what I got. So it was one of those type of moments. And, you know, there was obviously some other guys. Jamal Charles was kind of fumbling over his words and stuff like that. That gets you a little bit nervous too. But, man, it was a little icy when I got back to the room, but it felt good. I had a lot of people. I had Patrick Smythe, who's obviously you guys know Patrick with the Broncos, was hyping me up, texting me right before I went on. The whole war room's ready. I can't wait to watch you represent. So he was. I couldn't just go out there and read the card, man.
No, you crushed
Come
it.
On.
You crushed yeah. it, and you couldn't tell you if you were nervous at all. I thought you crushed it from the beginning to the end. And we're visiting with Tony Sheffield. I got to ask you, you gave a bunch of names there. You Bronco Betty, like you said, super fan, always there for us. Then you gave some teammates shout outs. Matt the Hawk Prater. I mean, the Hawk,
the
right?
Hawk.
He definitely
you know
gave oh, he definitely gave himself that nickname. Any thought to giving a shout out in there to Brandon the Slot Machine Stokely? Was that ever thought to go into the your teammates' names at all or no?
No, and I think I still owe you $600 from a golf course, too. Yeah, yeah. And I was
you
like,
remember. I got it in my book.
I jetted out of town, man, when Josh McDaniels blew that thing up. I owed you and Kyle Orton $600 from the golf course. Crossed my mind, I will say it crossed my mind.
Oh, my goodness.
I had to cut it down because, you know, they were telling me to stick to the card, man. You got the cutting room floor. So.
All right. Hey, that's all right. Hey, if I was at least a thought, right?
Yes.
And so I'll take that.
Yeah, 100%. I had Tommy Nalen. I didn't throw him there.
Tommy.
He's a legend. I consider him. I had all the tight ends I was going to name. Daniel Grant, Steven Alexander, Nate Jackson, Chad Mustard, Landon Trusty, Mike Leach. I was going to rip them off, but I just, like I said, I got nervous when they started talking about stick to the card.
Well, you delivered. So you were talking about Josh McDaniels. Tell us about what you thought of Josh McDaniels and how that all ended here with Denver when kind of Hurricane McDaniels came to town.
It ended horribly, man. You know, and we talked about this in the Friday morning meeting with Goodell. A big part of the NFL, the issue is how guys exit the game. That was an exit middle of my career from Denver. But how they exit and our feelings hurt, how is it handled, and all 32 teams operate differently. They conduct business a different way. So that's a part of the struggle in our transition after playing. But that transition out of Denver was horrible, man. I mean, you know, we walked in Wednesday morning of the Chiefs game, the last game of the year, needed to win to make the playoff. And Clancy Barone comes to me and says, hey, come up to my office. I need to talk to you. Just out of nowhere, blindsided, you're not dressing this week. You're not playing in the game. You can't come to the game. Why, Clancy? Couldn't give me an answer. I get down to the locker room, and B. Marsh is throwing things, hitting stuff. And I said, you too? And, yeah, what?
Wow.
So they had both just decided, me and him, and we were, you know, two of the leading receivers on the team, that we weren't going to – he was going to go ahead and beat the worst team in the league, the Kansas City Chiefs, with his guys, his New England guys, and he didn't need us there, us Shanahan, us Bronco guys. And that's what it was, man. And they went ahead and they lost that game, didn't make the playoffs. And the rest is history. We said we wanted out. Man, what a turn of events, man.
Tony, you also brought up Mike Shanahan. And as you can imagine, we have that conversation quite a bit, especially when the Hall of Fame stuff's being discussed. I think the NFL Hall of Fame process, it's completely backwards. And it's ridiculous that it is what it is. But how is a guy like Mike Shanahan not in the freaking Hall of Fame, Tony?
I don't know what it is, man. With his coaching tree and his success, and his innovation of offense that people are still using to this day, it's mind-blowing to me. I mean, it's got to be right there on the doorstep. I don't know if it's other people that need to be crossed off the list and let in or what it is, but just for what he's done for the game, man. And I mean, it's a no-brainer. I respected that man so much. I mean, we had a three-game lead. And with three to go over the Chargers, we lose all three. They win all three. He gets fired, like, overnight. And we had such – I think we were the second-ranked offense in the NFL. We had such a really good thing going. At times, we were unbeatable. And then for it just to kind of get, you know, flipped over on its head overnight when we lose those three games and the way the season ended. You know, never any ill will towards the Broncos, like I said. They treated me like class. The culture there was amazing. Stoke can speak on it. Man, I love Stoke, man. Like, the fun we used to have as a team, the culture that was created there was amazing. Amazing. You know, the team hung out, all that sort of stuff. So, I can't say enough good things about Coach Mike Shanahan. Obviously, he drafted me, had a lot to do with drafting me and giving me that opportunity. You know, the next year we go 6-0. We start 6-0 with McDaniels, but there's still that feeling of, like, it feels weird in here, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, Stokely makes that circus Hail Mary catch with, like, 10 seconds to go at Cincinnati, runs the length of the field. He runs across the field to kill more time, like, one of the coolest plays in Bronco history, I think. I intercept Carson Palmer the next day, by the way. That ball's on the mantle.
Yes, you did. Time. Hey, and that was – I got to interrupt you here. That's funny. I forgot about that. You were one of the first ones to come meet me in the end zone there. And they had Scheffler on the Hail Mary team because he's tall, he's athletic, can jump and can catch, you know. And so they have him on that. But it's always, what do they tell you? Knock the ball down. And and they throw up the Hail Mary there, and Scheffler's like, screw this. I want that interception on my football card, right, Tony? And you did.
Behind that. I mean, I'm in the preseason hotel lobby. We have gone over it a million times because we stay in the hotel during camp. Wink Martindale is doing bed check at the time was our linebacker coach. And he come in there and he said, you're not really going to knock that ball down, are you? You got to get that on your football card. And then so at that point, it was I had a permission from a coach to catch that ball. So
That was absolutely legendary. Last one, we're visiting with Tony Scheffler here. Appreciate you again taking time out of your schedule there, Chef. Jay Cutler, Brandon Marshall, Tony Scheffler, what's that relationship like now? And, man, y'all were so talented, so young, and then all of a sudden you look up and then, like, everyone was gone, you know. What's that relationship now with those guys?
It was interesting, man, because we kind of got shipped back to our hometown teams, you know, B-Mars to Miami and Cut to Chicago. I ended up in the same division as Cut a year later. You know, a lot of hunting trips out to Montana, you know, still keep in touch. I was at Brandon's wedding. We still keep in touch, man. We're close. We'll forever be connected, for our amazing time there in Denver. Obviously it didn't end nearly how we wanted it to, again, but we still keep in touch and we all got so many kids. I got 5 kids. Cut's got 3. We just all got B. Marsh with all his stuff he's got going on. We're busy, but you know how it is, man. It's great catching up, and, man, you miss it. You miss the plane rides. You miss the locker room. You know, one of my greatest memories, last thing I'll leave you with, Johnny Lynch, okay? You're on the plane. You know, the liquids are flowing a little bit. You get guys that are pure class that you don't really hear say a whole lot too often. You got Johnny Lynch on a loudspeaker making everyone get up, say the Pledge of Allegiance, and he ends it with, "We live in the greatest country in America." And it's like those type of memories are what you remember, man. The dude, you were one of them, Stoke. You're an all-time dude, man. So I love being on. Love having you. I love being with you. Whatever you got to do, man.
Appreciate you, Chef.
Awesome,
appreciate
Tony.
You. It was great times, man. Love you, my man. Be good. Take care. Again, thanks for joining us, my man, Tony Scheffler.
Appreciate you, Tony.
Hey, God bless Bo Nix.
There it is.
Yes!
Got one more on the way out. There it is. Tony Scheffler on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. That's fun right there, man.
That was one of my favorite interviews we've ever done.
Yeah,
right
that was
there.
Outstanding.
Just really bringing me back to you know a time in my career when I came to the Broncos where I left Indy. Well, they pushed me out.
Sure.
They kicked me out and said, you're no longer welcome
You were
here.
Asked to leave Indy.
Yes. Yeah. and so I had nowhere to go. I didn't know – nobody wanted me. I didn't play good. I tore my Achilles and got an opportunity here in Denver, one-year deal, and said, you know what, I don't know if I can even play anymore or whatever the situation is. Came here, and then, you know, you had the young stars of Cutler, Brandon Marshall, and Tony Scheffler, and it was so much fun. And we had such a great group, like he was saying. A lot of just young guys, you know, they were trying to figure it out. And I was kind of the veteran guy there. But we did. We had a great time. You know, Matt Prater was awesome. And just so many really good guys. But then, like I said, you know, you kind of look up and you're like, Hurricane McDaniels comes in here and just kind of destroyed everything. And then just, you know, got out of town. And you look up and it's like, dang, we used to have a lot of talented offensive players that you were hoping would be, you know, here for the next decade, and then they were all gone.
Yeah.
And so it was, it's just crazy how it all worked out, and it didn't work out with those guys. But it was a fun time there, especially for me in my career.
When something like that happens, and I think I know the answer to this because I know what kind of character or lack of character Josh McDaniels has, but I don't know for sure, so I'm going to ask you, Stoke. You're the guy in the locker room. So Scheffler's mad. He gets told by the other dude that he's not going to play. Gets down in the locker room. B. Marsh is throwing crap all around because he's mad, understandably so. Does the coach ever have to tell you, like,
If I'm the player, if I'm Tony or if I'm Brandon Marshall in that instance, I want you to tell me. I want you to look into my eyes, Josh McDaniels, and tell me why you made this decision. Did they ever get that?
I don't know. I'm not sure about that. I'm trying to remember. You know, I don't remember a lot of what happened and transpired then at the end of the year there. You know, I remember B. Marsh going nuts in training camp mm-hmm. In those situations. But I don't remember how it all went down there towards at the end of that year. So, not sure. You know, I guess every situation is different, right?
Yeah.
And that's a really – I forgot about that. That's a really odd way to go about your business. Y'all just not playing.
Right.
But that's the stuff that he did, you know, coming from Bill Belichick. And, you know, you saw what Bill Belichick did with Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. you know. And so that's McDaniel's, you know, daddy. That's where he learned. But that stuff doesn't work anywhere else. And it hasn't worked anywhere else. But it is a shame how that thing all ended for those guys, because that was the same draft class, right? Cutler, Scheffler,
right.
And Brandon Marshall. I mean – That's what an unbelievable draft class. I know it's the same draft class. Pretty sure anyway. But you know, I remember seeing Brandon Marshall, just to wrap this thing up. I remember seeing Brandon Marshall when I first got here, and I'm watching him run routes, and I'm like, wait, y'all drafted that guy last year in the fourth round?
Right.
Like, are you kidding me? This guy looks like a first round receiver. And it was just like, wow, this guy's going to be really, really good. And he did. He turned out to be, you know, really, really good.
How about that draft class? Jay Cutler, Tony Scheffler, Brandon Marshall, Elvis Dumervil.
Wow.
Those are your first four picks.
Wow.
And they got Chris Cooper back there, too.
Yeah. That's unbelievable.
Dang.
That's unbelievable. What a class that was.
Yeah, that's a hell of a draft class right there. So, fun stuff. Appreciate you getting your guy on. That's a great conversation. And we're certainly going to keep this around.
He said he thought about
Bo Nix.
Oh, that's yeah, one more time.
God bless Bo Nix.
So good.
There's so many great one-liners there. We'll have a lot of fun with that. He did say he thought about throwing my name in there. And he did remember he owed me money.
That's even better, right?
Right. I can't believe he remembers that.
And who else?
Kyle Orton.
Oh, Kyle Orton, yeah.
Said he owed us both $600 from golf. And I forgot. I knew he owed me money. I just forgot how much. And I can't believe he remembers that. He's like, screw it. I'm out of town. I'm leaving. They won't get their money.
Yeah.
Too good. Absolutely love it.
You should Venmo request him later today.
They didn't have Venmo back then.
Oh,
you know what I'm
right.
saying?
Yeah.
But I should do that today. You're right.
All right. Good stuff. If you missed any of it, jumped in the middle, it'll be on our podcast a bit later today at denversports.com. But that is an outstanding conversation with Tony Scheffler right there. All right. We can carry this over, Stoke, but a few minutes here. Talking about this Broncos draft, and Bo Nix, of course, love that that's the pick right there. I do got to give a shout-out to my guy John Matoka. He's going to get a mini-camp invite, the Colorado School of Mines quarterback, Harlan Hill winner. He's going to come and get a mini-camp invite for the Broncos, which is very cool. He would have a huge uphill battle to make an NFL roster, but that kid does everything the right way, and it's awesome that he's getting an opportunity like this.
Yeah, how cool is that? You never know what it would lead to, right?
Sure.
Certainly got a uphill a battle to, you know, make the roster.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see that happening. But, hey, practice squad, you never quite know,
right?
So all you're looking for is an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And so him getting an opportunity, especially here locally, I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
Best of luck to him.
And he's got something you can't coach, Stoke. He's got heart.
Got heart.
Got a little heart right
Love
there.
It.
So congrats to you, John Matoka and the Matoka family. Just great people. So fired up about that. Of the players that were drafted, and I know Bo Nix, we'll see what the playing time looks like, but you think about Jonah Ellis and you think about Troy Franklin and some of these players that were brought in. Do you think we're going to see one, two, three, four? How many players do you think, I guess, get an opportunity and then make an impact with the Denver Broncos in 2024?
Well, I'm hoping that's a lot of them, obviously. We can go through them real quick. I mean, I think Bo Nix is going to play.
Yeah.
Jonah Ellis
yep.
is going to play. Troy Franklin will play.
Agreed.
Not sure about the cornerback. And Audric, how do you pronounce the last name?
Estime.
Yeah. I think he's going to play.
He's definitely going to play.
And then Devon Avele from Utah. I mean, I got a text from a a former NFL guy that it was nothing but heaping praise on this guy, right, just out of the blue.
Mm-hmm.
So guess what? I'm expecting him to play after I got that text message yesterday, and then not expecting the center, Nick Gargiulo, to play. I said it just like you did.
Yeah, that was
right?
good.
Yeah, yeah.
We're both right.
Right, yeah. I just – see how I did that? Yeah. I just stole it from you. And
if you say it the way I say it, then we're both right.
That's right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So how many is that? You know, it's one, two, three – that's five.
And then, I know he's not a draft player, but John Franklin Myers, that dude's a starter.
Yeah.
And they got him via the draft.
Yeah, and you heard I heard the audio of and the video of the former general manager his former general manager of the Jets talking about having to trade him. They didn't want to do it,
mm-hmm.
But they had to, and talked about just like what type of person and player he is. So I was like, wow, I like hearing that. So that was like two thumbs up. So I think that guy's going to obviously be a really good player the next couple of years for the Broncos. And then, you know, maybe Chris Abrams, cornerback out of Missouri, mm-hmm. my special teams guy, who knows what that looks like, but that's kind of what I'm looking at, man. I'm expecting a lot of these guys to play and contribute this year.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, that's 5-6 players if we do include the acquisition of John Franklin Myers from the Jets. So five guys going to get an opportunity to make an impact with this Broncos roster that needs young guys to step up and get some value on those contracts. We're going to keep the conversation going. We're going to hear a little bit from Bo Nix, but I want to turn our attention to the Denver Nuggets and Jamal Murray. He struggled outside of that huge shot that won game two. How does he change that tonight? Stay aggressive, keep shooting, or maybe back off a bit and become more of a playmaker, facilitator? Let's answer that question and get your answers. Nuggets Nation on the text line next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
All right, what do we want to see out of Jamal Murray tonight? Jamal has struggled, to say the least, through 3-4 games with the Denver Nuggets. We know, of course, what he did in game two, and that giant shot that he made was outstanding. But outside of that, Stokely has been... If you don't want to sugarcoat it, we can tell the truth over here. He's been bad. Continuing to struggle shooting the ball, was 9 for 23, 0 for 4. I mentioned this earlier, but he's shooting 38% from the field and just 20.8% from three. Those are playoff lows by a lot on the three-point side. In fact, he hasn't shot lower than 34% in any of his three previous playoff stretches, and shooting at about 43% from the field normally. Here's what he's done, Stoke. 9 for 24, 9 for 24, 8 for 21, 9 for 23. Series total after four games, shooting 35 for 92. So, again, my question for us to kick around and for Nuggets Nation to answer on the RamosLaw.com text line, and the number there is 303-713-1043. What do we want out of Jamal? Is it as simple as, hey, shoot or shoot? You got to keep shooting the basketball, Jamal, because as bad as you've been, we know you have the ability, because we saw it in game two, to hit the biggest shot of the entire evening. So is it, hey, just keep shooting, Jamal, you do what Jamal does? Or with kind of the presence of Michael Porter Jr. and what he's done through four games of the postseason, maybe you'd like to see Jamal facilitate more, become a bit of a playmaker. He's good at that. He's got a game in this series where he had 9 assists in a game. And maybe take a step back shooting. What do you want out of Jamal Murray tonight?
Well, I want him to be aggressive. You got to continue to shoot if you're Jamal. I don't think if he's not there offensively, I mean, the Nuggets aren't going far. That's the way I look at this thing. I mean, he's got to be, you know, it's got to be Jokic and him, you know, leading this team if they're trying to win another championship. And so that's like him scoring and being aggressive and shooting it well. So, that's what I want him to continue to do, because if not, you know, yeah, I like him to be a facilitator. I mean, you're a point guard, so you got to be able to do a little bit of both. But, man, you know, we need his scoring. And if they don't have that, I just don't, you know, if he's not shooting and he's being more passive and just trying to facilitate, they're not going very far. So if you're going to go down, you're going down with your dudes. And Jamal's got to stay aggressive and got to continue to shoot it. He hasn't been shooting it well from behind the three-point line. So he hopefully he can get that turned around and get that going, because they need that. They need that production from him like I said, because if you don't have him being a big part of offensively for you scoring, I just don't see, you know, this team getting going very far.
Yeah, I mean, I'm tend to be with you of hey, it's the old adage of shoot or shoot, right? And maybe it's a little less volume of the jump shots from 18 to 21 feet or a couple of less threes until you start to feel it getting going a little bit. And you'll hear it from every basketball coach in the world from the time you're 5 until you're 35 at the highest level. All right, the shot's not falling, get to the rack. And you're going to get some layups or you're going to get some free throws, and then that's where you can kind of find your shot again is at the charity stripe. So that would be my advice as well, or my suggestion, if you're listening, Jamal. Right? Hey, continue to be you. You're going to have to do what you do. This team relies so much upon you. They're not winning a championship without you a year ago, and they're certainly not going to repeat without you this year. So continue to do what you do, but maybe just a little less volume and attack the rim. He can do that. He can finish with both hands at the rim against the best defenders in the entire world. So get yourself going that way, and then once you started to feel it, make a couple of shots. Get the crowd fired up. You know what I mean? Flex on somebody. Get yelling. A little bit, and then start to take a bit more of those jump shots once you get, you know, a little bit more comfortable and back to the form of who you are.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. You know, maybe just be a little bit more aggressive, trying to get some easy buckets, right? And then you get going, then you get in the flow of things, and then, you know, you can start, going with the outside shot a little bit more. So, yeah, I think with Jamal, just stay aggressive. But obviously, it would be nice to get a couple, you know, easy buckets going to the rim. And that's easier said than done, obviously, right? It just doesn't work that way. But, you know, try to be in attack mode, right? I like that. And hopefully that's what we'll see from him. It's obvious he's going to stay aggressive. I mean, it's, he told us after game two, he's like, because he was struggling that game, he's like, they told me keep shooting, keep being aggressive. You know, Michael Malone and his teammates are going to continue to tell him that. So I'm expecting him to break out of it, break out of this little mini slump that he's been in, and get it turned around and get it going back in the right direction. And hopefully this is the end of this series tonight.
Calf strain, were you at all? That's what Nicole, that's what Jamal is officially listed as questionable with today, is a calf strain. And we know that's kind of lingered for, I mean, I basically feels like the entire season. That's got to worry you a little bit tonight.
A lot. Yeah. I mean, he might be totally fine. He finished the game, right? So I think with Jamal, because why does it concern me so much? It's just like a little calf strain. Obviously, you know, the injury history there, but because he's such a big part of the team. Without Jamal, this team ain't going anywhere. I mean, they're not winning a championship. So, you know, you get a calf strain, next thing you know, you're compensating for it, you hurt your hamstring. We've seen him with hamstring issues, right? Or worse, you know, it gets to the point where, you know, goes from a strain to, you know, something worse.
Right.
So he's so important to this team that any kind of little injury, yeah, you know, this is just 2 days later. We'll see what it looks like, but hopefully it's not a big deal. Hopefully they got it managed, but man, that's a quick turnaround, you know, after straining your calf like he did, and then you worry about him compensating for it, and then that's when you hurt a hamstring or something like that on the other side.
Well, we want a full, complete game, and we're no different than the head coach. Here's Michael Malone.
That's four games in a row where we have lost the first quarter, and we've been down at halftime. And now you hope that to close the team out, you can't play a half of basketball. If we're going to try to win this in five games in front of our crowd, it's going to take us coming out ready to play and sustaining that for 48 minutes, because that team's not going anywhere.
And wouldn't that just be perfect for tonight? Of it, almost as if like the Nuggets, almost how we all feel. All right, had enough of this. Let's buckle up and play the kind of basketball that we need to play. And if they do that, I mean, we obviously know the talent difference, but they come out with intention and have effort. They should roll against the Los Angeles Lakers tonight. And if they were to do that, we'd all feel so much better. So there's another part of this. We know the Minnesota Timberwolves just swept the Suns. Eat that, Suns in four guy.
Bam.
So win tonight, and I would assume here, I don't know, this is me speculating, but I've seen it happen in the past, like the NBA is going to let the rest of the round one games catch up. You're probably not starting that second round until Saturday. So you're going to give the guys Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday off. Obviously, they'll be practicing some mini shoot-arounds, but you can really put yourself in a position, if Jamal's dealing with the calf, take care of business tonight and give the guys a couple of days off.
Yeah, that would be nice. You know, I mean, Michael Malone told us at the All-Star break they needed their rest.
Mm-hmm.
They got rest. They looked great in the second half of the season. So a couple extra days of rest would be huge, especially you're looking at Jamal talking about that calf strain that he had. So, yeah, that would be big to get a few days of extra rest for the Nuggets. How concerned are you with the calf?
I'm pretty concerned. I mean, this is something that's kind of lingered around, and I don't even want to talk about it too much, but I'll say it quickly. Is we remember Kevin Durant in the playoffs dealing with a calf injury and then saw his Achilles roll up.
Yeah.
In real time. You know? That's not scary.
Exactly. Not ideal. That's what I'm saying. One thing leads to another, especially when you've had other lingering issues.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully he's good to go, and we just like, oh, nothing. Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see. You worried? You're worried, right?
Very worried. Yeah, very, very concerned.
All right, Nuggets Nation, how do you feel about it? What do you want to see from Jamal? Keep answering that question. What do you expect to see from Jamal this evening? Tell you about the Fan Flyaway. It's back for some hoops this time. Pro Basketball Championship in June is where you could be with a guest of your choice if you go to denversports.com/thefanflyaway. Register for the prize and then claim your special offer from Sport Clips while you're there. You'd get two tickets, round trip airfare for you and a guest from Denver to wherever the destination may be, put you up in a hotel for two nights, and $500 to spend while you're out there. It's all presented by our friends over at Sport Clips, but you can't win if you don't register. Go to denversports.com/thefanflyaway to do it. If you registered for February's Fan Flyaway, you're already in this contest. And then once you register for, April, May's Fan Flyaway, you'll be registered for all future Fan Flyaways. So go there, denversports.com, and get it done and claim your special offer from Sport Clips. All right, we got to give some flowers to Big Val. We're going to do that next.
It's Stokely and Josh on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
All right, it is 12:45 on a Monday where the Nuggets and Lakers will play tonight at 8 o'clock. Shortly after 8 o'clock is where it will be. The Avalanche, they're in the same situation that their Ball Arena bro is in. They're both up 3-1, and the Avalanche doing so because they have won three straight hockey games after dropping game one and had us all freaking out about what this team was. In those three games, Stoke, they have outscored Winnipeg 16-5. And obviously a Val hat trick for the first time in his career led that way yesterday. It's just been, I mean, even in game one that they lost, we all freaked out about Alexander Georgiev. None of us had questions about the team itself. Now you just have good goaltending with the great team that also showed up for game number one, and that's what's led to a 3-1 series lead, chance to close out tomorrow night. But Stoke, it's been so much about Val Nichushkin, who has six goals through four games, and his coach Jared Bednar has given him a lot of love.
I just think long-term sustainability, that you want your guys feeling right and at ease away from the rink, and you want them to be having fun when they're coming to the rink, and they'll be more productive, and he's certainly doing that, but he's doing really well.
Yeah, doing really well. I think that's maybe underselling it, but that's kind of Bednar's thing right there. He has been, in my opinion, I know how good Nathan MacKinnon is, and Nathan can certainly do some things that Val can't, but I could argue that Val does some things that Nathan can't, battling in front of the net right there. Not that he can't, but does it better with his size. Stoke, it's been Val Nichushkin has been the best player for the Colorado Avalanche through four games. Maybe you want to go 1A and 1B and put Nate right under there. Arturi Lehkonen has also been outstanding with four goals and plays both ends of the ice. But Val, he's been the difference maker for me in this series.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked all season about his importance, you know, because he's been in and out of the lineup a little bit with, you know, his extended absence there. And we know his importance from 2 years ago. And they don't, they're not going to be able to win a cup unless they get Val, like, you know, prime Val. He's got to play at a very, very high level at what he's doing. I mean, we saw the impact 2 years ago, and now you see the impact this year. The guy can, you know, he just does everything really, really well. So, love seeing him play this way. And, you know, when he gets going out, it takes the pressure off of, you know, MacKinnon. And hopefully Rantanen will find the back of the net here soon. But it just takes the pressure off those guys offensively. So great job by him. Great series so far. And, you know, you look at the goalie situation and the way Georgie's playing right now. And it's like, wow, okay. you get those two guys going, the Avs are tough to beat, man.
And you go back to that 2022 Cup run, Cale Makar ended up winning the Conn Smythe as the best, you know, the MVP of the postseason. Val Nichushkin could have won that just as easily. Like, he is in the conversation for sure. And it was Val and it was Cale that were the two best Avs throughout that entire run. Now, everybody had their moments. And again, we're not overlooking Nathan MacKinnon by any means, but kind of looking at it again here. Cale Makar has been outstanding and Val Nichushkin has been the best Av. That makes me feel a little good that 2 years ago when those two guys were shining the brightest, they went on to win the Stanley Cup, and here we are 2 years later. I know it's only four games in, and there's a whole ton of work to be done, but those two guys are shining pretty damn bright again.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, your dudes have got to step up, mm-hmm. you know, if you're going to try to win it all. I mean, that's the bottom line. And so you need your dudes to step up, but and then you also need the other guys
yeah.
to, you know, make some plays along the way and you know, do some nice things like we're seeing with Lehkonen right now. So other guys have to step up. I mean, we all remember Kadri and you know, his impact he had 2 years ago. So your guys, your main guys have got to play really well, and the other guys have got to, you know, contribute also, what you're seeing right now. And it's just really crazy to me, I think, about after game one, you lose 7-6. And it's like, oh, my gosh, this is a nightmare right now. What's going on here? Our biggest concern, goalie. And we give up a touchdown, you know? I mean, like, did he really just give up a touchdown to start off the playoffs? And then the last three games, it's like, wow, okay, this is a lot different. And I hope – I'm still nervous about it. Like, I'm not completely like, Georgie's good. Are you?
No.
Okay. So
will that ever go away? Do we just live in that now?
I think so.
I kind of do, too.
Unless you go on like a 7-8 game heater.
Yeah, where he's giving up like one goal a game.
Yeah, but right. Other than that, you're always going to worry about a relapse, mm-hmm. right? Like, you know, you go to rehab, like, do you ever forget about that? You're always kind of worried about the relapse.
You should,
so, yeah, I mean, there's still major concerns for me, but, man, you're just kind of – I'm just holding my breath every game. Like, okay, wow, all right, he did it again. Mm-hmm. Oh, he did it again. So if he continues to play like that, I don't know who can beat – the Avs. I really don't with their offensive firepower. So far, great series. Hopefully we can just finish this thing off in game five and you get a little rest.
It kind of feels like, you know, we always talk about puck luck and bad luck and all the stuff that comes with pro sports of with what the Jets have had to deal with. I mean, we talked about Nemestikov getting hit in the face, and he's got a fractured cheekbone, found out. I haven't ruled him out because he's a hockey player, but he's got a fractured cheekbone. I'd be out for sure. How about Friday night? The guy gets his hand cut. There's blood all over the ice. Now, he was acting a fool and trying to fight everybody. So, you know, karma's a you-know-what from time to time. But, you know, like all these things of this guy's running off the ice because his hand's cut and bleeding. Another guy running off the ice because he took a puck from his own teammate right to the freaking cheekbone.
That's gotta
hurt. All these little things are starting to, you know, the bad puck luck, it's all with Winnipeg right now.
Yeah. That's gotta hurt. Broken cheekbone?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I don't know, like.
Have you ever had any face injuries?
No, not really. Not really.
Okay. I had these front teeth that I have are all fake.
Ooh.
Because I made a bad decision. I don't even know how old I was, maybe 10 or 11. And we decided to tie a wagon behind a dirt bike and then try to clear a gap. And I was in the wagon.
Oh.
And we didn't clear the gap.
Oh. And then you had a gap in your teeth.
Yeah, and then I landed, wagon crashed. It was also on cement, and my teeth scraped across the cement, and then when I came up, they were all gone.
Oh, goodness. That's got to not feel good at all.
No.
Wow.
My buddy Dan was like, you want to try it again? We can get the gap. And I'm like, shut up. Or I was like, more like, you know, that's how I sound.
You're not that's not fun. No, none really for me, but.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Risk reward, though.
That's right.
You've always been a smart man.
That's right.
So, yeah, cheekbone for that guy, and I'm not sure. He is going to return to this series because I'm not sure it goes any further than tomorrow night. You're still not completely sold, right?
No, because, you know, Winnipeg's obviously a really good team, and you're going back to their place. And, you know, it's they got the best goalie, you know, in the regular season, probably going to win the Vezina.
Vezina, yeah.
So it's like that guy could get hot, you know. So I'm until you finish it off,
okay.
I'll be nervous.
All right.
Honestly, about both series here, Nuggets and the Avs. until you finish it off and cross the finish line and close the door on the series, I don't know. I just like, I don't know. That's just the way I'm wired.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Got a great lead, but don't start feeling comfortable now. You got great goaltending during the regular season over there with the Jets. And then you look at the Lakers. I mean, you're talking about LeBron and AD. Those guys are pretty dang good, right? And if those supporting cast guys get going like they did on, Saturday night?
Mm-hmm.
You know, D'Angelo Russell's making shots. They're a tough team.
Yeah. We're gonna actually ask that question and answer it coming up in our fourth quarter about who we feel better about between the Nuggets and the Avs. So that is coming up in just a couple of minutes. When we get back, though, I do want to turn our attention back to the Denver Broncos. The draft is over, and you know what that means. It's draft grades for everybody. Well, what does the national media look at this Broncos draft as? And then what do we look as the Broncos draft as? Love to get your grades on the RamosLaw.com text line at 303-713-1043. We'll tell you ours and react to yours coming up next.